the last dance. And this is an attempt at to write in with form, some sort of form, which I haven't done before, but it's supposed to be a villain now, I think. Since prudence won't spare us, let's take a chance. Go skinny dipping through the ocean's salt spray. For when the music changes, so will the dance. Let's swim to high brassle, lie like lizards on the sand. Sniff the fragrance of blackberry with bay. Since prudence can't save us, we should take the chance. Slip out of wet skins back to mortal man's ways. Don gossamer of silk, talk all risque. No, when the music changes, so will the dance. Let's up stakes, move house, avoid jubil angst. Go uptown, down market, for a time astray, since prudence can't save us. Let's take the chance and purchase garb for a pièce de résistance. We'll dress to kill and host a final soiree. For when the music changes, they'll watch us dance. Ignore any who look at us askance. Just take my hand and step the tango way. Since prudence won't spare us, we have no chance. The music has changed. Now, this is our dance.
Next up, can we get Marcel Flominger? Marcel?
So tonight we heard so many about the relationship between mothers and children, and I think I have to add something between fathers and children. And this poem is quite old already, 12 years. My daughters Rahel and Esther are young adults now. But behind this poem there is a true story, in fact. It's called Dad's Treasure. Brave and full of adventure, my dad wades through the brook behind our yellow garden house, catching footballs in knee-high water. Fishing for footballs is not easy, my dad always says to me, emphasizing his courage, which is extraordinary, of course. Oh, how I looked up to my dad when suddenly a golden ball appeared on the opposite side of the stream, and he demonstrated his strengths. Firstly, my dad announced, risk-taking is meeting your target. But the contact with the water seemed to him not risky enough. Secondly, my dad mentioned patience as the ability to wait. And he played the waiting game until the golden ball floated to his side. Thirdly, my dad admitted, knowledge is facing the truth and gazing at the almost unreachable jewel. Dad, like always, was absolutely right. Fishing for footballs wouldn't be easy for him. The seemingly golden ball, then finally caught, deflated my dad with a dull and toothless grin. Thanks, I said, for showing me how to cope.
Thank you, Marcel. We have Mario Collins.
This is... it's very short, so blink and you miss it. It's called Undone. Opening up the clouds, her carpet flies into the sky. High above chimney stacks, small bickering crowds, the market square. Born on a wave of blue that furrows her in quietness, she sighs with relief, not seeing the imp at her back, unraveling the threads.
Thank you.
Keeping us on our toes there. We had Emer Fallon, please.
Hi, I am Lily, so your poem's Reproduction. And this is a poem about reproduction. Berry fever for Caroline. The blackberries ripen early this year. I leave the house laden with boxes and bowls and find women combing hedgerows and fields, fairy dust deep in her eyes. You ring to tell me they've harvested the eggs. I visit shadowed places I've never been before and stumble across dark droppings outside some animal's den. The air smells musky and unknowable. I run. Meanwhile, you sniff hormones, inject yourself. At night, a badger rampages through my dreams. By day, I snuffle my way through ferns and rotting grass. Some berries are already on the wrong side of ripe. Others have been annexed by a thin mucus veil. These ones make my stomach turn, but still, I cannot stop. You will hear tomorrow if the eggs took. Next morning, I get up. In the mirror, I am a foreign creature. Dark-eyed and wild with berry fever. A deep white stripe cuts through the centre of my crown. My lips are stained dark purple. My nails are ragged claws. I smell the berries souring in the kitchen, on the floor. There are berries everywhere. There will never be enough.
Thanks, Benjamin Burns.
I'll give you clouds which sail across northwesterly, vessels without surface on an airy sea. I'll give you rows of windmills, lanky, white, and clean rivulets that trickle down into mountain streams. I'll give you heather also, planted in your skull, stiff and dry and purple, so that the bees will love you. I'll give you bones which clash, continuous and rhythmically, horses, goats, donkeys, sheep, a two-step garage beat. I'll give you rusty hinges, tomtacks, inner tubes, molar, turf and sandstone, radiators, rushes. I'll hurl wind at your ears, I'll throw locks over you, skein and bow, keen asool, arrow, mila, allen.
To lift the curses, to light fire, to say fuck all of the discord jangling on every wire. I'm saying this to myself, frustration of a run written book, making home upon a shelf. Wake up, wake the fuck up, life will be gone and you will have succeeded in shutting the fuck up.
I think that ties in well with the middle-aged theme tonight. remind us of our youth, I guess. But it's black.
So, the thing is, like, this poem went down very interestingly last week. Has anyone heard of Moondog?
Last week.
Yeah.
Because like I had another poem and it's like saying that's not finished yet, so I read this one out. Moondog was a very famous musician. He came from New York and he was very well known for dressing up as a Viking. And everyone knew him as the man who just sold poetry and sold music. And the strange thing about it was his music was actually really, really good. It was jazz music and it was amazing. He'd be there with a massive orchestra behind him, and it'd be a big hairy man with a Viking horns drumming this weird instrument with a big orchestra behind him. And as soon as that played, I felt like I was just so inspired, and this term just popped into my head, and it felt like I'm being moondogged. And that's what the term means, you know, you've just been so inspired by music, you just felt like you've just been moondogged, and I was thinking of other musicians that have moondogged me. It just sounds weird, but it suits so well if you know, if you have listened to Moondog, because there's something so inspiring about him. And so I just put together his poem to describe the feeling of what music is. And I just hope the theme just does not, the word does not change meaning as I keep introducing it. Hope you enjoy the poem most of all. Moondog. The song dawned with the dawn chorus of a bird lament, as sweet as the voices of spring. Oh, I've been moondog. A song from the mountain. Nick Drake guitar twanged melancholy puts me in a pink moon, honey in a star, and makes me feel like I've been smoking too long. As the inner mountain flames burns the birds on fire, Minishru, Minishru, orchestrated one word of hope of jazz progression, a screeching violin with the ripple rumble drums. As they surround the green river, they call on the wind, or Beiju sends us down into a meadow, guitar here once again with a blue crystal fire. Shall he call in banjo notes and tell us of Haru Harai? Of Isabel Campbell, the siren, begs a wise man or a thief, hypnotizes them each, and makes them yearn to yearn. And its end, we gone with the sound of a gun, and a gun to a planet called gun. Where there are no limits, as love is how you make it. If music has taken you to these places, then you traveled too far. If music hasn't taken you anywhere, then your travel has begun. If you hooked on a hook on lists and advertise an enterprise, then I think you're leaving us behind, as music is a free ride. Thank you.
I don't know if you expected Moondogs to be a punchline there in your intro, but I heard Mr. McCartan giggling away down the back anyway. Thanks very much. We have Brenda
Gallagher. I'm pleased to say that three of my poems have been published in Dovetails. It's a US journal, and this one is Refugees and the Displaced, which is published in May, so I'm delighted. The rains came for Aurel. The rains came, the excuse we needed to go for coffee instead of a walk. I arrived first, got my coffee and Bakewell. You arrived later, paying for us both. We chatted as if walking. We look out through the door, to the open door, to the garden beyond, and I tell you of my new swing. 50 years after my first one. You leave to get messages for your husband, mother, aunt, and uncle. I stay a while to look out, listen to the rain, to a Puerta de Tula and the Buena Vista Social Club. The rains came, you coming through the desert were not prepared. You struggled through the mud, happy in your own home until the bombs rained down. Leaving behind where your family for generations before carved out their livelihoods to a future refuge if you are one of the chosen. Thank you.
Congratulations again. We have Patricia Walsh next, please.
Alright, before I start, does anybody know of the phenomenon that was Matt Talbot?
Yeah,
he was, well, I don't need to say here, but he was, I think, a labourer in Dublin in the 1920s, and he was a screaming alcoholic. And he only went to religious epiphany, and not only did he give a drink, but he put himself to like rigorous mortification. And one of these was the we'd used to wear chains underneath his clothes. So it's called Saving Helper. Going towards the grain, being good for once, sackcloth and ashes in this age opposite, dying in ultraviolet light, sacrificing, delayed gratification for a stint in the sun. That Talbot's chains fill the body with infections. From that mass to this, he sank his addiction, nicely venerable, but affectionate, prostrated, watched under glass in a revenger's tragedy. Nice sacrifice, however fitful, wipes the slate, picking out gnats and swallowing camels, monopoly on salvation held jealousy, fearing social mobility, a sure route to heaven. Paid compliments in the marketplaces, bread and water diets clean the various innards, feasting on essentials, keeping the soul sweet, rose around her neck to hold it for show. A badly written testimonial weeps salvation, the run-on sentence reigning supreme, barbed symmetry between next life and this, eternal trials spilling out in the open. A cadence all night, assuring the correct, eking pleasure from a sudden sackcloth, redeeming the nefarious from proper order, warming hearts on a devil's surprise. Thank you.
You get 10 shebang. You ready?
Hey guys. I'm gonna read a poem which is divided in two. The first part is called The Poet's Muse, and then the second part is called Untold Story. So I met this wonderful girl on stage, and that's what happened. So The Poet's Muse, her beauty is beyond understanding, and if understanding was understood, it would be a misunderstanding stated under the grounds of common definition of beauty. Her grace, the graceful grounded in the steps is gratitude, a rarity so rare, I came across by chance or fate play this part. Okay, now I'm gonna find the other one. This is an untold story told so many times. I love my mama, but I gave my heart to a girl who broke it so many times. I picked her up, reconstructed it back to the same girl. This is an untold story told so many different ways. I broke so many girls out for this one particular girl. They say you don't know what you have until it's gone. But I knew what I had the minute I held her in my arms. But they also say love works in mysterious ways. She broke from my embrace and flew, only to break her wings. But I secured her fall, mended her wings only to watch her take off once again, leaving me heartbroken. This is an untold story of love, hate, and forgiveness. I forgave the girl who looked me in the eyes and laid off her love for me, built me a fairy land and blended me with her sweet gentle talks. But deep inside, she was dying for an escape. So then began the untold stories of secret love affairs. They had so much that they have to remain untold, left to linger in the air as unconfirmed rumor. But if you ask me, I love her despite all the wrong she's done. I love her unconditionally. Though she left pain in my heart like a needle piercing through flesh, this is an untold story of told so many times.
Sam also paints like he writes, and his exhibition is currently hanging in Alchemy Cafe in case you're in the neighborhood. Can we get Cedric next, please?
through its window, I watch gold in the streets. We are all animals, but we are not all equal. The jungle unfolds beyond our sight, into our minds, grayer than ever. It is our habitat, yet it feeds on us, or rather, them. I watch behind the window, protected, I tremble in fear and anger when I see them meet the fate we share, swallowed by shadows. Nothing can stop the madness of the jungle as it advances. What the grey cannot conquer, it taints with sadness. Its dust clouds the sight, and eventually many are streetwise grey creatures with no spirit at best. With no direction, they only return to the same corners, those bodies, displaced souls. I watch through this window, and I see them below. I stare into the darkness, and they stare back, making me shiver. The grey of my boredom seems greener than the grey of the wilderness. The freedom and strength of those who fled the prison of the concrete and glass, I only envied until I felt their cold reality grow on my skin, when I leapt into the world. So I went back up in my seventh tower, ignoring the jungle and its struggle. I watched through the window. At my level, I see people in the bitten tree. They are living in this jungle like me. Despite the concrete, there is warmth in their nest, love and all the things that make life greener, I can tell. Between the project's powers, there is still space to grow. I look through the window and I see them give color to ground and space to the sky. I could fly away now, but I know I don't need to escape until tomorrow.
Squinting into the mirror, trying to reconfigure its dimension. What mirrors me that I can't see, abstracted to its angle? And in a flash through flow, I feel its form, hearing it in a floating note. Like when I read a line and feel its fire, it fills me with its ocean. To dip my hand into its truth, no words that can cling to air can name. Little bubbles blurting endlessly, encapsulating infinite, come up short and float away. I feel it in a tear jerk, as if the other world's strings were pulled, like a friend I'm aware of more than myself. Infinite lingers below this surface, smiling and crying, making love to all these endless parts.
So can we get the winner of our Flywheel Challenge tonight, Andre?
This is my first time ever coming to something like this, and this is the first time I'll ever read any of my poems out to anyone. So, this piece is called Stranger. I look into your eyes, your stare cold and dead. And when I look deeper, your eyes fill with dread. Your expression's a canvas, no emotions, no life. A corpse in man's clothing, no enjoyment, no light. Your past haunts expressions, your future shows fear. Unsure of your goals, unable to care. I look into your eyes and see so much pain. I feel what you feel, my reflection, my shame.
Thanks, Adam. Surely we And Kieran McCartan there in the back, please.
Have you ever seen horses on the paddock before their race is run? Bouncing, running free, like foals, like children, acting on every impulse, bowing to every wind, fulfilling each of their desires from within. Have you seen what happens then? The progress of people, led astray by an unseen force, led away to run a course, wrapped in materials so tight that it itches, blinkers on the eyes so they only see the ditches, fastened with reins and steered through straight and narrow planes.
Are you sure? Alright.
Sure.
There's one there, if you like.
I might do it at the end of this time. I listen to it first.
No problem.
Thanks, Michelle. It's a great talk for you. Five words remind me of Cymbeline, you know, Shakespeare. And we learned to sing that sad old family, I was fearing of all the heat of the sun. So, journey through eternity, astral gales to trade for south winds, scoop a luminescent train, comets meteoric fall to oblivion, freedom for the winter's rages, fear no more the heat of the burning sun, you've earned your wages and you've done your task, it's well done. Fear no more the heat of the sun, nor the all-furious winter's rages, now thy worldly task has done, home art gone, and tame thy wages. All lovers young, all lovers must consign to thee and come to dust. That's enough of that. Morning meditation of the Dogen Bearer. You can do it for free. Morning meditation of the Dogen Bearer. Then the best part, it's for free. I must put my mind down to be mindful. Well, then if there work cut up with me anyway. Mindful of my fellow man, mindful of each feeling, mindful of my breathing, that all I want to do is escape from the inside of me. By jingo, my foot is stinging me, and each deep breath with my lung feels like leather, aching spine that must sit up straight. I must be careful not to fidget and to wander. Cliche one, notice your breath. Two, feel the space beneath you. I did all that with my pregnant women. I programmed them each carefully with each word. But the ocean poured in with its clouds of taupe and mauve and tangerine, and the glare that was hurting my eyes suddenly turned golden, and feeling no pain, I thought no longer of what might have been, but retrospection pulling me back and projection shoving me forward. I kind of returned in the meantime morning to a little bit of a virtual version of me. That's it.
Here I find myself in paradise, breeze in my hair is a feeling nice, all worries and despair cast among the seas and tides. Given the choice, I'll believe what feels right. Then I see you out the corner of my eye. I see your long blonde hair glimmer godlike in the light. Say hello, how are you? You tell me where you've been. The waves like a cello, the symphony of the sea. Palms softly sway, mellow the scene. All the while you tell me what brings you to the beach. Places to be, smiles we see and souls we reach. Yes, I've seen it, the scar, but have a mind not to stare. We feel the notion explained without a care. Then you spoke about the day the ground beneath you shook. In an instant, people under panic under panic, sheltered and took. Two blue eyes, I'm taken by your look. With a solemn stare, you told me what the world can do. You told me all about Kathmandu. Ancient bricks fall, don't know what to do. Helpless they stall, faith only to carry them through. Matilda, you got me. Matilda, you got me good. After some time we parted ways. Perhaps to see you another day, in another country, different breeze, different waves. In this life, to the next, I'll remember your name. Thank you.
Thai power?
And so this piece gets read backwards once it's done from the start. I am part of a last generation, and I refuse to believe that I could change the world. I realize this may be a shock, but happiness comes from within is a lie, and money will make me happy. So in 30 years, I will tell my children they are not the most important thing in my life. My employer will know that I have my priorities straight, because work is more important than family. I tell you this, once upon a time, families stayed together, but this will not be true in my era. This is a quick fix society, experts tell me. 30 years from now, I will be celebrating the 10th anniversary of my divorce. I do not concede that I will live in a country of my own making. In the future, environmental destruction will be the norm. It can no longer be said that my peers and I care about this earth. It will be evident that my generation is apathetic and lethargic. It is foolish to presume that there is hope, unless we reverse it. There is hope. It is foolish to presume that my generation is apathetic and lethargic. It will be evident that my peers and I care about this earth. It can no longer be said that environmental destruction will be the norm in the future. I will live in a country of my own making. I do not concede that 30 years from now I will be celebrating the 10th anniversary of my divorce. Experts tell me this is a quick fix society, but this will not be true in my era. Families stayed together once upon a time. I tell you this, family is more important than work. I have my priorities straight because my employer will know that they are not the most important thing in my life. So in 30 years, I will tell my children, money will make me happy is a lie, and happiness comes from within. I realize this may be a shock, but I can change the world, and I refuse to believe that I am part of the last generation.
Is there anyone else who'd like to read a poem who hasn't signed up? He's on the fence. No. Okay. I said it's because this in a free time and we do so, but I didn't write it, I wrote a portion of it, so it was a bit of it was a very beautiful night a few nights ago, where at the end of the night we were sitting on hammocks and somebody began a poem on their phone and then passed the phone around, and people who never write poetry just kind of did it because you're just past the poem, you're asked to continue the poem, so it happened, and this is it anyway, if you'd like to hear it. The fire twirled into the endless night, bashful as the trees flirted and whispered in the dark. We swung on man-made wind, his skin was as deep as the night illuminated by the dancing flames, and his voice was soft like the song of a mother's that a mother sings, and I was in the arms of an angel born to earth to safeguard me through each rising storm. Elchim and Eel are tangled and still, Eloh Tif Creal in a perpetual silken smile. Nelez, such is he, such is life, Grog in a cave of his own skin. All the leaves are brown, all the love within. He said poem, but she couldn't tell. Her hair was long and looked like honey. And even then she knew his hands would never hold her close again. Although her world grew dark and twisted, She knew one day she would be free from his wretched, strange hold and dance among the honeybees once more. The past is the future. What is will always be. Thank you.
Thank you. And also, Mary Maddock, our guest poet for tonight.